Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. I am so excited. We have an absolutely wonderful guest today, John Walsh. And John Walsh is a best-selling author, a speaker, coach, mentor, and business advisor with a passion for helping students, young professionals, new executives, and emerging businesses accelerate their potential and rise from just starting to standing out. As the president and CEO of Standout X LLC, he and his team work with other experts around the world to inspire and develop the next generation of high performers, leaders, and difference makers in business and in life. Before becoming the leader of the Standout movement, John spent 20 plus years as a successful finance and strategy executive with the Walt Disney Company and the Madison Square Garden Company. He continues to be an active member on the board of directors for Disney's Employee Credit Union. John's completed multiple marathons, including last year's race in New York City, and he lives in Central Florida with his wife and three children. So welcome, John. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always good to see you. I know we talk a lot offline and in many different avenues, and it's good to actually do an official podcast with you. So
yes. This is great. This is wonderful. And we got connected through Heather Monahan, who's fantastic, and her group and Shona, and you know, they're all wonderful. So I had such a great time chatting with you, however long ago that was, and excited to catch up today.
I'm excited too.
So you recently released a book and you started your business, and there's been so much exciting stuff going on that I would love to kind of start more from back when you were working with, you know, Disney, Madison Square Garden, and what kind of led you down the path of wanting to do what you're doing today?
I think there's a couple things that probably all came together. One was we were students, young professionals at one point, and boy, don't we wish we had something like this when we were younger. But I think also what really hit me the first time I did a speaking engagement at the University of Florida. I think it was on personal branding or something. And I remember it was professional development day, and there were 300 kids in the audience. And I did this. I had never done a presentation for that large of an audience, but I did it. It's great. But then so many kids were coming up to me afterwards and talking to me and connecting with me. And you could tell the impact that the speech had. And so that sort of got me interested in at least being around that demographic to try to help out. Right. And then when I was at Disney, one of the functions, even though I was a finance executive, we did recruiting for the finance organization. So I led a team that went out, found the next generation of, you know, finance analysts and managers and things like that. And we would interview. And when I'd go to schools and I'd interview, I was like, boy, these kids are just so bright. They're so sharp, but they're just not ready for stepping into the job on day one, or they're not ready for life or whatever. And you can see that gap, right? And so those two things kind of came together, and I've just since then always had a passion for helping, you know, young talent, emerge and get ready for life after school. So that's where it came from.
I think there's such a need for that. You know, I think personally, upon like reflecting on school, you know, you definitely learn the academics, right? But I think there's a huge part missing for that, like social, emotional, and also, you know, building connections and relationships and, you know, resiliency and all the things that come into play when you're actually starting a career. And I know, gosh, looking back at my first job, even though I had gone through, you know, I got my master's as a PA, I had done clinical kind of training where you're doing like your year of clinicals in person, I still felt unprepared. Like I don't know maybe what I was missing, but there was still that shock of like, oh, now I'm on my own. Like, okay, here we go. And I didn't feel fully ready. And I don't know, again, looking back, I'm not sure exactly what was missing. I just know that there was something missing, and it took experiences and growing throughout my career to really learn. And I think what you're doing now is so incredibly valuable. I would love to hear a little bit about what you're hoping to do and how you're going to kind of help provide these services for students and people looking to maybe change careers or go in a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, our lofty vision is 10 and 10. So touch, we want to impact 10 million students over the next 10 years, which is a pretty lofty goal. But the way we want to do that is really, I mean, there's no substitute for experience. And we can't give students and young professionals the experience that they're going to get. But what we could do is we could fill in the gaps of things that we've developed a roadmap to help students go from, I'm starting on day one, how do I stand out? It's a competitive world. How do I, first of all, get the job? How do I get on the job and do really well early? And then how do I sustain that momentum, you know, for the rest of my career? It's almost like trying to put a 35-year-old into a 25-year-old's life, right? And giving that stuff. So the way we do that is we take a holistic approach to success and happiness. And so it's really about something near and dear to your heart, for example, is the wellness component of success, right? Making sure that your financials are all in order. So what does it mean to have a budget? What does it mean to financial plan that early on? What does it mean to have the right people around you? How do you deal with adversity? Basic life skills, like all these things that fills in the gap, right? Because kids are going to school and they learn all about their major. They get some experience as an intern. Maybe they get some life experiences through that, but then they get on to day one and some of them don't even know how to fill out the tax form on, you know, you go to HR on day one. How do you fill out the tax form, right? And so it's a little bit of like helping kids be their absolute best on day one. It's so that, what does that mean, your question? It means confidence on day one. It means understanding how to deal with adversity. It means how do you prepare? It means how do you be a leader when it's day one on the job? Because I think everybody can fulfill a leadership role. How do you have significance on the job? How do you make a difference and have an impact on the job? Basically, if you think about something that you may have had a gap when you were 20, 24, 26, that's what we're trying to fill for people so that we're basically coming on top of the college education and other, and, you know, on the job training that companies are doing, and we're plugging all the holes that kids are missing these days.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I've seen a lot of students struggling with, just a lot of stress and also, you know, anxiety. The numbers are rising and younger kids, which I think is concerning. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, is educating people on ways to optimize their mental health. But I think a lot of it is kids are not being taught how to take care of themselves. Like, they're not being taught how to take care of their minds and their bodies. They're being taught how to achieve a goal, or like, you know, how to do all this task, but they're kind of, there's that missing component of the whole person in this. And as you're striving for success or your goal, that ultimately, you know, you need to love yourself and take care of yourself in that process. Cause you know, when you achieve that goal, that's not going to give you that long lasting fulfillment. Right. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on what we can do to help teach these kids and adults, right? I think we all need to learn this lesson, how to, I guess, succeed without having to sacrifice our health and our well-being.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a hard challenge, because especially when someone already feels healthy, right, to come to them and say, you need to really focus on your health. Like, there's no reason for them, right? There's no, they're not sick. There's no why. There's no, you know, unless they're, I don't know. There's no real reason for them to do it. They'd be like, yeah, okay, I hear that. Yeah. Like, I'm supposed to eat well. I'm supposed to take care of my mind, all that stuff. I think, you know, a lot of the stress and pressure and anxiety that you were talking about really comes from the fact that they don't really know who they are, right? They're still trying to figure themselves out. And there's a lot of stress with that. Like, they're hearing a lot about what's your purpose and, you know, what, you got to make your major decision. You got to decide on the right school, decide on the right major. You got to get the right job and you got to do well in the job. And it's like, right. All this pressure, but they're living other people's lives. And I think that creates stress. It's hard enough to be ourselves, let alone trying to be someone else. Right. So one is, they're just not themselves, confident in themselves, or able to be themselves for one reason or the other. The second then is they don't know where they're going. So there's this stress and this pressure of, what do I do? Like, I don't know what my career is going to look like. What is it going to be? Like, how is life? All that stuff, right? And then in between are all, like, is a lot of competition and expectations and society norms and all these other things. And so what we try to do is help them figure out who they really are, where are they really going, and then helping them connect the dots and walk the journey from point A to point B. And as part of that, if they're focusing on those things, you can't focus on everything. So if they feel healthy, they're letting wellness go, right? Because it's like, I'm not going to focus on it right now because I'm worried about getting this job and doing well in this job and all that. But what we try to do is it's almost like a tire, right? And say, you've got to make sure you take care. I know it's not an issue right now, but you know, here's 20 points of the tire, from financials to your environment to what you take in, like what do you learn and the people around you and all that. And wellness is one of those that if your tire might be rolling along and it's all great, but if you know, if there's a puncture, like a nail hits your wellness, you get sick or whatever else, the tire is going to run flat. Everything else sort of falls apart around that. And so you might not need that wellness in the moment, but let's take care of it along with these other things. You don't have to be the most fit person in the world or the smartest, right? You just need to make sure that you're covering off on all these things so they don't go wrong as you're trying to go from point A to point B. Because we don't want you to, you know, end up getting stuck because there's one component of your life that you didn't prepare for, you know.
So. Yeah, I think it's a lot of it is trying to avoid burnout, you know, and not then looking back, be like, wow, I'm extremely burnt out. And I've been, you know, going full speed ahead for however long. One thing that I wanted to talk about is the idea of like pitching yourself. And, you know, you're talking about standing out. And I think part of that is having, you know, a huge part of that is having confidence in yourself and your abilities. And, you know, upon reflection, like that was not something that I was taught. And maybe it's because I was in the healthcare field. Maybe it's different if you're in a business major. But for me, it was all about, you know, you're giving, giving, giving. So that was something that I struggled with as I went about my career. And I really had to develop those skills starting my own business because I wasn't used to pitching myself. I felt like I didn't want to be a show off. And that was, you know, one of probably my limiting beliefs that I had to break out of, or I should say, I know that was one of my limiting beliefs, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on how kids, students, and adults too can gain that confidence to really be their own biggest advocate. Cause I think that's something that's really important.
I mean, it does take, it takes confidence in who you are. I think there's a lot of, there's a couple things on that. Confidence in, if you know who you are and you know where you're going, just naturally that creates some confidence, at least some comfort, right? And sometimes comfort breeds confidence. Other times it's the old psychology confidence competence loop, right? If you feel like you're competent in something, you get that confidence, right? It's when we go into situations where we're not prepared, we're not ready, we don't feel like we know. I mean, you've been on stage, you've talked, like if there's a topic, you know, you get out there. Yeah. You get a little bit of jitters when you first go out there, but if it's a topic you really know, you can get up on stage and talk all day long. But if it's not something, you know, then you sort of lack that confidence. And I think it's the same thing for kids as well, is that when they're going to pitch themselves, if they're trying to be someone they're not, then they're trying to find the right, like you don't have that confidence because you don't know that person. But if you truly know who you are and you where you're going, it's really easy. It's easier to be able to walk into a situation and say, this is who I am. This is what I do. And here's the value I can bring to you. And by the way, this is where I'm going and how it fits into that roadmap. Right. And so that, and then the chips fall where they may from that point. I think it's just that, that confidence issue comes when you're trying to be someone you're not.
That's a really, really good point. You know, and I've gone through periods where there's that level of intimidation when you're trying something new, right? And I've gone through like comparing myself to other people, or I've compared myself to certain speakers, for example, who are, you know, have a totally different style. And then when I caught myself thinking about that and feeling intimidated, I had to remind myself, like, I don't need to be them. I'm not supposed to be them. Right. All I need to do is show up as myself. And that, just that reminder, it takes the pressure off. It's like, oh, I don't have to pretend. Because that is, I think, what creates that fear of feeling like you have to be someone you're not, when really we're all here to be ourselves. But sometimes I think, I need that reminder. I think everybody needs that reminder once in a while. Like, you don't have to be like that person.
That's right.
You just need to be yourself. And with students, I think a lot of that probably comes with experience and exposure, right? Like, I know when I first started my podcast, I didn't feel very confident. I was nervous, you know, and it doesn't mean that I was bad at it. Like, I listened back, I'm like, okay, you could tell. I could tell I was nervous, but the confidence came with practice. It was the more that I did it, then that builds your confidence. And I'm a huge advocate for like pushing out of your comfort zone, because I think that that's needed, right, to expand our talent. So I'm curious where you stand on that as far as kind of breaking out of your comfort zone and trying new things and addressing fear that comes with it.
Yeah, that's, well, there's two things I'll say on that. One is, it is definitely experience and exposure, but I would also say it's acceptance, right? I think you have to accept who you are and be comfortable with who you are. It's great to get experience and get exposed to new things and try new things and then get good at those things, but you still have to accept where you are in life. You're losing anytime you compete with someone else, or anytime you try, like if you and I try to do our podcast and we're trying to be Heather, right? Yeah. We're like, people aren't tuning into us because they want to channel Heather through us. They want to hear you. They want to hear your voice. Right. And so it's like, it relieves the pressure. Cause if people want to listen, great. If they don't want to listen, then I'm not the show for them. Right. That's how we think. And so you get confidence that way. And I do think it's just like anything that's fear, right? We always, and I know everyone hears this all the time, we always make it to be more than what it is.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I write this book, no one's going to like it. Or I'm not going to sell a single copy. Or if I launch this podcast, no one's going to subscribe. Or if I go and try that new food, I'm going to hate it. Or whatever else it is, right? The fear that we build up is always bigger. And so experience is not, it's partially just you get better at it.
Yeah.
But part of it is, each time you go into a situation and you do it, you're taking one of those things you were worried about and like, oh, you know what? This podcast isn't that bad. Oh, you know what? That food wasn't that difficult. Oh, you know what? Like, you start breaking down the barriers of fear at the same time as you're building up a level of, I can actually do this, like that confidence. Mm-hmm. So two things are sort of happening there at the same time, which I think really helps. So.
Yeah, that's great. And one, a wonderful psychologist that I've chatted with, some of her advice was, when you have those thoughts of like the what if thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. That you could say like, well, maybe that would happen. Maybe it wouldn't happen. And that takes away the power that we kind of, like, we have to figure it out, and like the mind can hook on to some of those things. But if you're kind of just like, well, maybe not, it takes away, again, that like emotional charge with it, which that tends to work for me. And again, it is, I think just, reclaiming your power and realizing like, all right, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Like, I'll be okay. I'll make it through. One other thing I want to talk to you about too is how you can have healthy boundaries. And I think as a new, let's say a new grad starting in a new career, or someone maybe who's looking to switch careers, starting someplace new, how can they create healthy boundaries for themselves as far as like workload? And I think as a new person, a lot of times you can sometimes be giving, you want to impress. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on kind of establishing that level of like healthy relationships, boundaries with your career.
Yeah. Let me touch on that, but let me just go back real quick to that what if that you were saying and just share something with you. So one of the things that works really well for me is to change my what if. So if I say, as an example, because I'm starting a podcast too, and I'm so thankful you're going to be a guest on my podcast, it's the what if no one likes it. And I try as best I can to change my what if. What if it goes really, really well? Or what if there's that one person that needs to hear this message? Instead of what if my speech bombs, it's what if this will lead to other speeches? Or what if someone in the room cries because of what I've said, or I shared my story? So sometimes just, I think we, not only as people, but also as parents and whatever else, we are so busy trying to protect what we could lose that we don't go after what we could gain. Mm-hmm. And so I try to flip my what if to what's the gain instead of what's the loss. So that's just real quick on that.
I love it.
But in terms of boundaries, right? I think part of setting boundaries is, and I've got a whole chapter of this dedicated in my book. It's about playing the game. I think a lot of times we don't understand the game that we're playing. So then therefore we don't know the rules and therefore we don't know the boundaries to set. And so if you go into a new job, for example, the reason why you don't know where you don't have boundaries is because you don't know where the boundaries and the rules of the game are. You don't even know what game you're playing, right? So there's the, what is expected of my job? What does my boss or my leader expect of me? What does success look like, right? What is important to me relative to that success? You start asking a bunch of these questions and then you say, okay, well then I need to set the boundary here. I'm gonna only tackle two projects at a time, or I'm gonna keep my network to these five people, or I'm gonna make sure that my hours of work don't exceed a certain amount so I have time with my family, right? Mm-hmm. We try to set boundaries sometimes. Well, the reason it's hard to set boundaries is we haven't answered any of the questions yet. Mm-hmm. And so where do you put the boundaries? Where do you put the walls? You don't know that unless you ask the questions and you know it. So the more you know what game you're playing, what the strategy is for, it's just like, think about any board game. Like if I say to you, hey, we're going to play a game and like, let's just start playing right now. You don't know what boundaries and what tactics, because I haven't told you what game it is. Mm-hmm. But if I say, hey, we're going to play Monopoly, like you are instantly know, okay, you're starting to set up boundaries in your mind. Like, what do you do, strategy and all that stuff. So I think we just have to answer more of the questions that are left unanswered, and then it's easier to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And cut yourself some slack.
And you have to know what's important. Yeah, that too. But you also have to know what's important to you and be honest with yourself, right? Because if your health and your family, for example, is your number one priority, and you go into a job and you're like, oh, I want to do really well in this job. I'm going to work 60 mm-hmm. hours a week. That incongruence is going to show up really quickly. And the thing that's really important to you, your health and your family, mm-hmm. is going to, by default, become a lower priority because you're placing a priority above that, right? And your boundaries mm-hmm. have changed.
Yeah.
And so, right. So there's just, it's important understanding what's happening, understanding what you want, and then it's easier to set those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. And I love how you make it into a game, because I think everybody can understand that, right? It's like, okay, you're going in, you don't understand the rules. And I think that's a perfect example of like being kind to yourself as you're starting something new, that it's, I think, normal to feel a little bit unsettled when you're in right. this territory, you don't understand the game. So that was great. Thank you. And I'm hoping you might be able to provide a little bit of insight, guidance for people who are going through transitions right now, whether they've gotten let go. I know Disney, I mean, you worked for Disney. I know they just had a lot of layoffs, and I saw you were doing something great as far as supporting the people who are let go. But yeah. Curious what you might suggest for how can people make themselves stand out, right, as they're looking for new jobs, careers.
In terms of the transition itself?
Yeah, like as far yeah. as if people have been let go and they're looking for something new, how can they make themselves stand out in the workforce?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into standing out, and every person mm-hmm. and every situation is different, right? Which is why standing out is such a tough concept for people to mm-hmm. grasp. But really, there's five things that I can share about standing out. They're pretty simple, and you can almost think about them as each of the fingers on your hand, right? So there's I'll just give you the five. The five are that you have to be different. That's number one. You have to be unique. You'd be different. I mean, if you're the same as 20 other people, there's a lot of people that are looking for jobs right now. If you look the same as everybody else, you do the same as everybody else, you interview the same as everybody else, you submit your cover letters the same as everybody else, you're not going to be any different, right? What are you going to stand out? So you have to be different and unique in a certain way. The second is, and I usually talk about that as the thumb, because that means you have to be you. It's okay. You're okay. Thumbs up. That's right. So you have to be unique and different. The second is you have to have a unique thing that you offer. There's something that you do better than anyone else. And you have to tell that, you have to market that you have to share that with the world. Right. And then ideally, as you're doing that one thing, it's complementing something else. So let's just say, for example, you're a financial analyst. Okay. the one thing that you do better than anyone else is you model. You know how to financially model a problem or a situation. But if you can combine that with, now I know how to tell you the outcome in a story, I am now all of a sudden unique to you. So, right? So you're unique and different. You have a unique skill. The third is that you are exceptional at that skill. So when the time comes, you blow people away with your exceptionality, right? That's the third. The fourth is you add some kind of value. You're giving something. Someone is getting something because of what you offer. And the fifth is you move people's emotions. So when you go to interview, when you go to start day one on the job, if you're who you are, like we've been talking about, you do something better than anyone else does it. In the moment when they need you, you are exceptional, above standards, right? You add a lot of value and you move people's emotions, happiness, satisfaction, whatever else, you are going to, by default, stand out. And you could take any, like take a contestant on American Idol, you can take anything through this. And you're like, if you kind of put yourself through it, like, hey, it actually makes a lot of sense. So
That's awesome. I love that. I think the, really uniqueness I really resonate with, and also moving people. I think that takes a level of vulnerability that I don't think everyone has. I think that you really, in order to put yourself out there, it takes a lot of courage, but that I totally agree. Like, you remember people who are honest and vulnerable. And I think that really helps with connection too. And that's another huge piece, I think, as far as if you're looking to grow your career or coming out of college, how to really build true connection. And I'm wondering if you have anything you could add to that, like what suggestions you might have for people who are looking to build those relationships with looking to, you know, grow your business or get a new job or grow your network. You know, if you have any thoughts on that.
I would say it's the same five things. I mean, you do very, very well. You do this so well. You, like, we've talked on the phone a few times. We've done Zoom calls. We're on this podcast. You are uniquely you. There's no one like you, right? And so there's just that first. You know what you know, and you're good at what you do. You're good at your topics. You know what you do. You do it in an exceptional way. And you add value. Like, you're always posting on LinkedIn. You're always giving people your advice and your words, and you're giving. And then when you do it, it's in a very caring, you know, way. And so people are emotionally attached to that. And so you stand out, and anybody else can do this too. Really, those things. People want authenticity. They want the real you. They want the best real you to show up. They want something for themselves, right? And then they want to be moved. We all want to be moved in some way, right? A feeling, a sense, something. And so I would say it's the exact same five things if you want to stand out, if you want to connect with someone, because that's how you connect too. Don't we connect with people that are like, they're just so good at what they do. You're almost drawn to them, right? Or if there's someone that's just, wow, that you meet 20 people and they all kind of the same. That one person was like, God, that person was just different. That was really cool. Or they really made me smile, or they made me feel good, or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that we connect with because we want to connect with them.
Well, thank you so much. That really made me feel good hearing you say that. So thank you. And, you know, it's interesting because I look back on myself, and as I was kind of, I guess you said before, like when you didn't know who you were, and I look back on my life, I'm like, for sure, there was a long time frame where I was like, okay, who am I? Right? I was trying to figure it out. And I think that's a journey we all face. And during that time, like, I really wanted everyone to think I was perfect. Like, I had this idea, okay, if I didn't want to be vulnerable because I was afraid that, I don't know, people wouldn't like me, or you had to show up as a perfect person. And I've realized, like, that is just so not true. You know, no one can relate to that. Like, you can't relate to somebody who's perfect, but that was part of my journey and growth, was really owning those, you know, the troubles and the challenges and things that have made me stronger. But that was, I think, a big turning point for me, was that, like, aha moment of just owning that vulnerability. Right. Yep.
I'll share real quick. Just two instances that will bring this home about the authenticity. So, we're shooting this now as an audio, and if there's a video, like behind me, there's this beautiful office right behind me, right? And so I've taken pictures and posted stuff about this like standout office, and like it's the perfect image, right? The lighting's perfect, everything's perfect. And I've posted that on LinkedIn and said different things. Well, I've also pulled the green screen back and turned around and taken a picture of my washer and dryer behind me with a dog lying on the floor. Guess which picture, guess which one gets the most interaction, right? It's that one. Mm-hmm. I did another one where I did this webinar, and I had all the lighting set up, all this professional lighting, the beautiful webinar. I took snapshots of it, posted it on there. You know, here's some of the things I said. But then I went around behind and I took a picture of where I was sitting and this little camera on top of three boxes with these two golf clubs holding the boxes still. And I said, here's what's really happening behind the scenes. Guess which one? Guess which one had the most like likes and everything else? It was that one. So those are two. It's really clear is that we try to put this perfect image out there, but people want to see the dog on the floor. They want to see the washer and dryer behind you. They want to see the boxes that your stuff is set up on to say, you know, that this is what's really happening.
So. Yeah, it's relatable. Yeah, that's awesome. And it does look beautiful. I mean, we've talked about that. Like your backdrop is gorgeous. And I absolutely love that you're like, just totally honest. You're like, I'm in my laundry room.
I'm in my laundry room. There's a beautiful green screen right here. And so it is what it is.
That's fantastic. Well, this has been so much fun. I'm hoping as we're kind of coming to a close that you could let people know how they can find out about your book. I want to read your book. I need to read your book. And then how, I'm not sure if you fully have launched your business as far as if people can start to work with you, but how they can get a hold of you and learn more.
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is to go to the website. It's standoutmovement.com. So www.standoutmovement.com, and everything is there. You can connect to the social media through that. You can listen to we're launching the podcast in a couple of days as soon as the Apple Podcasts approves that. So you can get to that there. We're offering, there's obviously the book, that you can buy now. So it'll take you right to Amazon. You can buy the book. We've got, I do one-on-one coaching right now, but we've got a lot of stuff coming up. We've got a journal that's coming, which is going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I'm such a big believer in journaling. I really love this journal. We've got, a monthly coaching program that starts in January. We're doing a series of training videos about the standout curriculum. So there's going to be a lot more coming. The easiest thing to do is just go and visit the website. And, if you give us your email, then you'll get like a weekly video, that we'll send you every week to kind of inspire you for the thought of the week. And then we'll share, you know, as things are coming up, but that's probably the easiest way to get there.
I think that's amazing. And I think, you know, you've had such great success in your career and working with Disney and, you know, Madison Square Garden. And I think you are just such a wonderful person and would be a wonderful resource for people to reach out to. So check out his stuff. And I'm excited to be on your show too. So check out his podcast. Is the name of your podcast?
Is the same as the book, The Standout Experience.
Okay. Yep,
it's all the same.
Fantastic. Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I've absolutely loved having you on.
Sounds good. And we'll talk to you next week when you're on mine.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
All righty. Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Live Greatly podcast today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. You can check out my online courses, A Healthy Mind Starts in the Kitchen, to Eat to Optimize Your Mood, and an 8-week online course to guide you towards optimal well-being and success. Check me out on Instagram at livegreatly_co and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so you can follow me there. Please leave a review and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Share it with your friends. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you to awaken your ultimate potential.